Aloha, this is Catherine Cruz. Mahalo for joining us here on The Conversation, Hawaii Talks. It is Tuesday, July 8th. Today we open our phone lines to talk about Operation Clear Skies, the crackdown on illegal fireworks. Just before the July 4th holiday, the governor signed bills aimed to boost enforcement of rules banning illegal pyrotechnics. We hear from the Department of Law Enforcement and the Honolulu Police Department about how the holiday weekend went. We invite you to join us for the hour. What was it like in your neighborhood leading up to the holiday and after? Quiet or not? The number to call, 808-941-3689. Call with your comments or questions. We'll hear from the community across the state, so stick around. You're tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Today we're talking fireworks. Our guests today are Mike Lambert, director of the newly created Department of Law Enforcement, and Major Paul Okamoto from the Honolulu Police Department. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
I'm just curious, what was it like in your neighborhood? It was quiet in mine, but I don't know. Where do you live, Mike?
Well, I live out in Kapolei. I was actually working the ops on Friday, so I actually kind of went through a bunch of communities, and it was eerily quiet. I called my parents in Kaneohe as well, and they said that, yeah, it was really out of the norm. Normally, they hear much more popping, but it was sporadic at best.
What about for you, Major?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some encouraging signs with the compliance of this new law. I think people are slowly adjusting to these new standards. I live out in Aiea Pearl City, so I get a pretty good panoramic view of, you know, the Waianae Coast and central Oahu, and also of downtown Honolulu. And I have to say that I think this year, I think the fireworks were definitely muted compared to previous years.
Yeah, well, I'm in Kaimuki, and usually it looks like a caldera, you know, with everything just popping. But yeah, very quiet this year. And there's been a concerted effort, and there was, a week ago, the governor held a news conference to sign the bills into law. And, you know, we were very fortunate that there were no fatals this year related to fireworks, as far as we know. There were some fire-related fatals, so that was a concern, because of what we saw 6 months ago.
Sure.
But what was your sense? I don't know if you've gotten any information at all about any injuries or what feedback.
Gov texted me the next day after the op on Saturday, and he was pleased. I guess he also recognized the community compliance, and I guess his discussion with the hospitals were that firework-related injuries were pretty low, pretty quiet. So that's encouraging, and really it's not a law enforcement win. It's actually a community win, because it was up to them to either comply or to make us work hard. So we do appreciate the community's compliance on this.
Okay, and then Major, what were the citation numbers?
For sure. Oh, yeah. We had, in conjunction with the Department of Law Enforcement, we did Operation Safe Skies, and the results of that were that we gave 19 citations for fireworks, and we also gave 75 warnings. And I really see that as a plus, especially considering that the law was signed just a few days before 4th of July, before the Independence Day. And so I think, just us getting out that message to the people that this new law is what it is, and that we'd like everyone's cooperation to comply with it. I think we all did a good job as a community. Just the anecdotal evidence that we have here in this room that it was muted.
Yeah.
I think it's a good start.
Okay. Well, we already have a caller on the line from Honolulu. Mandy, what was your experience?
Hi. Yeah. Every year the fireworks were just really bad, and I have a dog, and the poor thing would, get so scared when it would go off. The house would shake, and they'd go off overhead, and the cars would go off. And I would call the cops on this particular house that was right down the street from us. And, cops would show up, but it wouldn't stop. They'd leave, and then they'd set up their things again, and it would go off again. So this past July 4th, actually, it was pretty quiet, but that one house still set it off. I didn't call the cops this time, even with the new law, because, well, I kind of gave up after a while. It didn't seem like it was doing anything. But maybe it was doing something, because they were just, they only shot it off once. Mm-hmm. Usually they kind of go off multiple times during the night. So maybe it is making a change.
All right. Well, we thank you for calling in and sharing your experience. And, you know, this weekend stands in contrast to the New Year's Eve incident where they had a celebration that just, you know, went terribly wrong in Iliamanu. It killed 6 people, including a 3-year-old child, and it injured scores of people. And many were not just burned, but they were also impaled by flying debris, according to the first responder. So it's tragic, but that's the reality, and that's the issue of safety, right? That's why sure. everybody is so focused on this now, because of what we went through, you know? So it's pretty tragic. And, you know, at the news conference that was held before the 4th of July, you know, the mayor also talked. Here's what he had to say.
I think to the extent that the bills have been passed and what's been law, HPD will enforce, yes. We're not going to start, you know, carving up and creating different laws. We, you know, this is just one of those things where we're asking people to use their common sense. You know, we won't hear anybody... everybody get hurt. You know, in fact, we just saw the explosion in California, you know, where 7 people got killed. It was a tremendous, it would happen to be on video if you saw it. You know, things like that can happen even in households, as we know. Iliamanu was a really painful lesson for all of us to witness, but the people who suffered that are gonna suffer forever. So we just want to, this is just a friendly call out, a reminder, be safe, enjoy, don't do anything you're not supposed to be doing.
And also at that news conference, Honolulu Fire Chief Sheldon Howe talked about the number of permits that were issued, legal permits, legal fireworks.
The intent is for all of us to have a good time and be safe. I think in recent history, what happened in Lahaina and most recently this year with fireworks, they still have the potential, even though July, 4th of July is not something we see a lot of incidents, huge incidents. It is in the middle of our fire season, which starts in May and all through October. So I just wanted to give you a little outlook on what 4th of July would look like. From a weather perspective, it's favorable conditions, relatively high humidity. The winds will be moderate. So from the fire perspective, fire behavior perspective, it's favorable. However, we at the Honolulu Fire Department understand the potential that it could reach to. So we are upstaffing, bringing 2 more tankers online, our relief tankers, and upstaffing in that west side or those critical areas.
And, you know, this weekend we had that fire that raged over on the west side. And I don't know, I'm sure the police department was tasked as well to help with that.
Yeah, sure. I don't have any updates on the fire itself, but definitely the officers out there in our District 8, you know, it's caused lots of traffic problems, and I'm sure the calls for service has gone up. But I do want to echo what the mayor said earlier about, you know, about safety and responsibility. And this is all a collective effort, I think, you know, with everyone. And to really change that culture, I think it's going to be an incremental, I think, we're going to have to take incremental steps, I think. But I think this is a really good step. And I want people to understand that really the Honolulu Police Department is very serious about enforcement in cooperation with the Department of Law Enforcement, and that we will take action and we will give out citations and make arrests if necessary, so that we can ensure public safety.
Well, when we had those the news of the wildfires, I was driving when I heard the alert, like they're, you know, evacuating that Miley neighborhood, and I was like, oh gosh, was this due to fireworks? You know, because right, we didn't know at the time, and to think that community was experiencing maybe some of the fear that we saw our folks on Maui in Lahaina, you know, go through, and so I just had this lump in my throat as I was
sure.
driving, like, oh, I hope everybody's going to be okay. I hope nothing burns, but there's that fear.
Yeah, and Waianae, the scary part about that is that, I mean, it has very similar conditions to Lahaina, even in regards to the traffic flow, the dryness, all of those conditions are in Waianae. So my heart did drop when I heard it. I'm glad that we didn't have the same type of outcomes. We still need to be vigilant, because I think there was another one in Nanakuli. It's very dry. The investigations will tell us whether or not what started it, but it's hard to not at first at least consider fireworks as being at least a fuel source that started it.
Right, because we were just coming off the holiday and you didn't know if somebody had leftovers and they were, you know, fireworks or sure. sprinklers or whatever they had. But yeah, that's just a concern. You know, a listener from Maui sent us a video clip of someone firing off illegal aerials in Kahului. She called police there to report the incident, and she said she was frustrated at their response. That, you know, they told her, well, they drove by, they stopped her, but they didn't witness any violations, and that she said the lawlessness continued. Yeah, so just a concern that she had, and she felt that she wished that there could have been more advanced messaging about fire hazards, and she suggested reminders about the loss of life in Lahaina, like the mayor mentioned earlier. And she asked, why can't there be amnesty days for turning in illegal fireworks? You know, we do have amnesty day for buyback, right, the gun buyback. You know, so I don't know. Many discussions about that?
Yeah, definitely. So Gov wants us to do a firework buyback. So we're going to coordinate the date. We don't want to release it until we secure the location. But I think that we're actually going to do a buyback this year. So we're trying to come up with a formula for turning in. And we want to reward people that are going to do the right thing, because even if you're just a seasonal popper, I mean, that's, you know, 5 months till New Year's. And if it's in your home, it can be tragic. We've already seen that. We know that. So I think the goal would be to reward people that are going to do the right thing and turn in, especially those aerial fireworks, and we want to reward them with gift cards. The calculations, again, will come out, and you guys will hear about it shortly.
And so is this the first time that we would have been doing this for fireworks?
Yeah, so typically it would just be the regular amnesty. In other words, you just turn it in on a goodwill, but I think the goal would be that the Gov wants is to just motivate and incentivize and reward people for making the community safer. And if they can trade in their very dangerous fireworks and aerials for some gift cards and maybe have a nice barbecue, that would be ideal.
Okay, all right. Reward the positive behavior, right?
Yes.
The good behavior. you know, at that news conference, I understand that, Mike, you had mentioned that it cost taxpayers about $1 million to send back all those illegals that we do seize?
Yes. So, you know, I guess what people don't realize is that fireworks in small amounts are fun. In even moderate amounts, so once you start talking about 100 pounds, it's lethal. And people, the only difference between a grenade and a firework is that a grenade has metal on the outside. But internally, the way that it combusts and the way that it expands and, you know, is volatile is very, very similar. So I don't think people realize that, yes, a single firecracker in your hand is not a big deal. But if you have cases of them in your garage, it could be, you know, pretty dire.
And then, anything you want to add?
Yeah, certainly this new law addresses some of that, right? And you know, I really encourage everyone to look it up. I believe if you just Google Act 243. Act 243. I think people can read it for themselves. But there really is a lot of stiffer penalties for the importation, the storage, unsupervising minors also. And so I think these are important additions, I think, to our laws to strengthen and to promote public safety in terms of fireworks.
Okay. Well, if you're out there listening, today we're talking about enforcement on the crackdown on illegal fireworks. We invite you to call in at 808-941-3689 and share your experience or ask questions of our guest today. And, you know, I did talk to Senator Glenn Mackay, who represents the district of Liamanu, where we had that fire at the beginning of the year. He said it was quiet in his neighborhood. He was glad for that. And he had mentioned, you know, the $1 million costs. And he said the governor piped up and said, well, maybe we can, organize a show using those fireworks. But here's what Senator Wakai had to say.
In that conversation, he also mentioned that for the state to properly dispose of the contraband it seizes, it will cost him and the taxpayers of Hawaii $1 million to send a container load of fireworks for proper disposal someplace on the mainland. And the governor chimed in that perhaps we should utilize the opportunity to have controlled fireworks burns of these items for the public enjoyment safely of these fireworks and ultimately save taxpayers millions of dollars in disposal fees. So it's at that point that I approached Mike Lambert and said, you know, we're going to say goodbye to Aloha Stadium. 50 years of glorious history and put something better in its place in the future. And why don't we mark that occasion at the end of July when Stanford Carr has permits to take down the current stadium and really launch a opportunity for us to celebrate the end of an era and the beginning of a new era and save you, DLE, a lot of money in disposing of it and also take these dangerous substances out of bunkers. So he liked that idea, and he and I are actually now working on making that happen at the end of August.
That sounds like a great idea. If you can eliminate the safety issues around that and save taxpayers money and then put on a show for the community, if we can.
Yeah, it's a triple win for the public.
I don't know. Is that going to be, there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through? You have to have somebody, you know, who knows what they're doing put on that kind of a show?
Yep. So Stanford Carr is very receptive to the idea, but Stanford Carr is a businessman. He says, I don't want any liability. I don't want anything to do with actually putting on the show, but certainly he can put it on next to Aloha Stadium. So apparently Mike Lambert has private sector contractors that are, you know, pyrotechnic professionals, and we're going to engage them in this conversation of putting on a contraband show for the public benefit.
So we've got ideas that are coming, you know, outside the box, right? Let's just try it, see if it's doable.
Yep, absolutely. So actually the Gov wanted to actually do shows around the state because some of the feedback on why people do it is they don't have that access to come down to Hilton Hawaiian or these other locations that put on these really great shows. So they kind of have like this Robin Hood mentality where we're going to give it to our community, but not always is it done safely. So that one of the Gov's ideas was to do it everywhere. And Senator Wakai, actually great idea, is that because of the space, it's very possible that we could go ahead and dispose safely of some of the quantities that we've had. And I think it's a great idea. So we're going to try to see if we can actually get that done. It's a tight timeline, procurement. There's some other things that we'd have to go through. But we definitely want to try to entertain that because it would allow us to kind of deplete what we have in storage.
I mean, do we have a lot?
Yeah, I don't want to disclose the exact amounts, but it's more than I want to be responsible for. I'll say that.
Yeah, and we have had, you know, situations where I think it was ATF that was storing some seized fireworks, right? And we had a crew that was actually working on it, and there was an explosion.
Yeah, I remember. That was the explosion in Waikele several years back. You know,
right.
I certainly am in favor of, you know, new and novel ideas. This is very interesting to me. But, you know, we do have to do something. I'm all in favor for taking the fireworks out of the hands of you know, consumers and actually put them in the hands of professionals. And certainly I think this is a very new, novel and interesting idea.
Well, I know that Senator Wakai said that, you know, we ought to explore getting away from fireworks and maybe, you know, getting into drones, because there's some incredible drone shows, very innovative, tremendous, creative shows,
sure,
that we're seeing pop up, you know, on the mainland or across the globe, really.
Yeah, we've seen it on YouTube, especially in China. You know, thousands of drones, and you know, that sort of replicate fireworks, and it's very interesting what the technology is now.
Yeah, I think it's cool, and obviously I'm a big drone guy, so yeah, I'm all about it. I'm for it. Let's do it.
You yeah. Know? Well, let's talk about drones, because that was a new tool that you folks rolled out this weekend. So who wants to take that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that was House Bill 550 that was signed into law, and it basically allows law enforcement to utilize drones over public spaces in order to collect video evidence for use in possible prosecution of these fireworks laws.
Yeah, and on Friday during the ops, it was really, really cool to see how drones help us to kind of pinpoint where it's coming from. So a lot of times, traditionally, we see the fireworks go up, and then you're just kind of like, almost like you're playing Pac-Man in the neighborhood, trying to figure out, you know, which house it came from. But what the drone does is it tells us which house it is. And then, of course, then the ground units would go ahead and make those observations. So it's really such a great tool. And then there are some things that people are going to shoot them down. So I highly recommend you don't do that. It is considered an aircraft, and it would be a federal offense. So I message to the community. It's not funny. If you do it, it's actually going to be very, very serious.
And was this a new or recent acquisition of these drones, or have your departments had them for a while?
So we had the Department of Law Enforcement has had several since last October. They were hoping to try to use it for fireworks enforcement for the new year, but there were some legal challenges. Would it be accepted in court? And again, HB 550 now makes it an acceptable form of evidence. So it's going to be a lot of trial and error. Friday's event, we were using it and we're learning. And I think that it was a great time of year for us to work together with the Honolulu Police Department to kind of coordinate what the drone sees and what the ground force units do and how they sight. And we really feel good about going into the new year. So I think that even though 19 citations, people have to realize that a lot of times what was happening this year is that people were only letting off one and they were waiting. Right, so kind of what happened to the, what may have happened to the Maui caller is that the person is lighting off and the officers are waiting, but they can only wait so long. But again, it's better than before. And I think what frustrates the community is like when people are going on and on and on for 10, 20, 30 minutes, and you're telling me that no one could come by and enforce that. But with this new law, because of the way it's written, if people do that type of long-winded burn after burn, they're going to get a ticket. And that's what we saw 4th of July is the 19 were predominantly people that were going for it.
And what about training to operate those drones? Because, they can be tricky.
Yeah, for sure. You need a license to operate these devices. And I know the HPD has pilots that can operate these. And really, this is a great partnership with the Department of Law Enforcement, where we have pilots and they have the drones. And, you know, and I have to say, you know, Director Lambert was a colleague of mine just until recently. You know, he was a major with the police department. And I really think this cooperation, this is a really good time for the Honolulu Police Department and for state law enforcement to actually cooperate and join forces. For public safety, for the good of public safety,
right?
It's really, really good.
You have that experience, boots on the ground. You know what our officers are up.
And I appreciate Paul's comment because I really do think that when agencies work together, because there's always been that kind of, you know, our team, your team, but I think that moving forward, that's kind of faded away, and really, who wins is the community.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a whole new ball game with the immersion of drones on the scene. And I know it was a few years ago that the city was trying to use it. I think the lifeguards were getting into using it, you know, fire, just because they saw how useful it could be as a tool in their work. And now we're finally seeing it more integrated, right? Our folks are getting trained properly. So, yeah. It's a positive thing if we can use it.
Definitely. There's lots of uses, I think, in law enforcement. And we'll see what happens in court, too, right? And this is all sort of a work in progress. And we'll make the cases. We'll send them over to either the prosecutor's office or to the AG's office. And we'll see how successful we are in court.
Right. And then, of course, the real test will be New Year's Eve next year.
Certainly.
But certainly this was a good, I guess, I don't know, drill or exercise with this 4th of
sure,
July.
Absolutely. So when I was, you know, kind of talking to the team, HPD and DLE, on Friday's ops, I was telling them this is preseason. You know, this is where we got to work out the kinks. This is where we need to figure it out. This is where we humble ourselves to know that this is the first time we're utilizing this tool. And there's going to be things that we learn through tonight because Super Bowl is going to be New Year's Eve. And I really do feel like this was a good preseason event. We're already in discussions on how we can make things easier. We're going to really be pushing out our fireworks reporting line. And I really think that we're going to be ready. And we are, I just want to be very clear, we're likely to be overrun at first this year. But I think that we're going to have heavy amounts of enforcement. And I believe 3 to 5 years, we'll see a visible difference. Because we got to break what people think fun is. And that's kind of where we are right now.
Right. And what tradition is.
Correct.
And what playing it safe is all about.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. It's all about responsible celebration. I think, we have to have reverence for the holiday and what that holiday represents. And also we have to have reverence for our neighbors and our communities, right? Because your actions may have profound consequences for the people that live around you.
All right. Totally agree. Okay. Well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Our guests today are HPD Major Paul Okamoto and Mike Lambert, HPD veteran and now director of the State Department of Law Enforcement. You can join our discussion by calling 808-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Support for HPR comes from the Cades Foundation, founded in 1991 by brothers Russell and Milton Cades, supporting Hawaii's communities for more than three decades. Cades.com/community.
Hawaii Public Radio brings our community together. It keeps us informed, sparks thoughtful conversations, and deepens our understanding of the issues that matter most to us. I'm Pia Arma, the founder of Pineapple Tweed Public Relations and Marketing. By supporting HPR, we're helping to build a more connected, informed, and compassionate Hawaii. Go to hawaiipublicradio.org/protect.
Support for HPR comes from the Honolulu Board of Water Supply with a mission to provide fresh water to the people of Oahu, committed to conserving and protecting Oahu's water resources since 1929. BoardofWaterSupply.com.
You're tuned to The Conversation here on Hawaii Public Radio. Today we're talking about fireworks, and we have with us the director of the Department of Law Enforcement and as well as a major with the Honolulu Police Department. You know, we encourage you to give us a call, join our discussion, 808-941-3689. And, you know, there's been a big emphasis on, you know, leave the fireworks to the professionals, you know, enjoy the organized shows. And one of the shows that happened here on Oahu was the one in Kailua on the windward side. They hosted their 4th of July celebrations. You know, they had a parade earlier in the day, and it is one of the island's few licensed aerial fireworks show. It's a tradition for the community, but some who attended the festivities felt like the mood was a bit subdued. The Conversation's D.W. Gibson spoke with Annie Barlow, who watched the show from Kailua Beach Park, along with her German Shepherd, Siri.
So you were here in Kailua on July 4th. Tell me what the atmosphere was like.
Yeah, it sure was. We're usually here most July 4th. And I got to say, this was a lot quieter than years past. Maybe that was due to the overcast weather. But the beaches were half as empty as normal and the streets were quieter. There was still enough traffic to give you a headache. But yeah, in general, it was quieter and not as busy.
So Kailua Town was doing its main show there down by the beach, but there, it sounds like that was going on, but there wasn't necessarily all of the fireworks and firecrackers going on at individual houses.
Yeah, I would say that was true. We didn't hear fireworks all night long. In fact, the neighborhoods seemed relatively quiet. I don't think there were any street fireworks going on. I know of a few parties throughout some of the neighborhoods closer to the beach, but there were no fireworks at them.
I see your pooch is here with you. Was she happy to have a quieter night for once this year?
Well, I'm sure many of the pooches around the island were, or at least in Kailua. Mine's pretty good with noise, but she watched the fireworks show with us from the beach and just smiled on.
Yeah, you want everybody to be calm, right, and not stressed out. You know, we talk about our pets, but, you know, I know there are a number of families out there who have, let's say, kids with special needs that are really set off when they hear loud noises unexpectedly. You know, we have veterans who have PTSD, you know, or maybe officers who are just, you know, on edge when they hear those large booms.
For sure. I think, you know, the public really deserves to live in peace and have security, right? I really think that's sort of the primary role of government. This really new law, really gives us the tools. You know, previously, it was very difficult to get successful prosecutions just based on the definitions of what aerials were or what consumer fireworks were. And really what this new legislation does is that it redefines it so that it makes it easier for the officer to actually make successful cases so that there is some consequence, right, to launching aerials in your neighborhood or using fireworks without a permit. So really, this is really a big plus for everybody. Like you said, for veterans, for people with pets, people with respiratory issues too. That was a big deal, you know, especially when we did before the times where we had the firecracker permits, right? I mean, our every New Year's Eve, our streets are just clogged with smoke.
And, oh my gosh! Yeah, yes.
So, I think things are getting better.
And so this new law, I mean, you have now the ability to write citations, right?
Correct.
And fine them.
Yes. And so it's either a $200 or a $300 citation, depending on, you know, if you're using an aerial. And just a simple definition of aerial, right? Previously, we would have to have experts come and testify to, you know, the composition of the firework and really in court sort of prove that this was an aerial. What this new legislation does is that as long as it launches in the air and it combusts over 12 feet, that's considered an aerial. And so it really does take away the onus from, you know, from the experts in court and really just puts it on the officer. If he sees the aerial go above the roof line of a house, for example, because that's about 12 feet, that's considered an aerial. And we can take enforcement action because of that.
Okay, so the definitions and then that ability to cite people and say, hey, you're going to get a fat fine because you broke the law.
For sure. Yeah,
right. That's very important. Because it's an infraction, the burden of proof is less. So for the $300 or $200, you don't need a robust amount of evidence to go ahead and do that. Prior to having it being a civil, you actually had to create a complete case against someone. And the burden of proof was hard because if, say it was a rocket, it went up, it's gone, right? And then, of course, because the way the statute was written, right, you have to have milligrams of powder and all these other things. But now the new law is saying if the officer can observe it go up, then they can use that observation. And it was so weird because, you know, when working with the AG that was writing this law, I said that my 5-year-old knows what fireworks are, right? So why are we as grown adults and in the legal system trying to make it so difficult for us, right? So for example, the kind of the logic that went behind the law as it was written is like, we're saying it's a firework. You go get your defense lawyer and you tell me what it is then, right? Because that's what we're saying it was. You know, and a lot of times I think we overcomplicate simple things. And I'm really glad to see that with this new law that we kind of went to common sense.
And, you know, you folks, I'm sure, were there as this law was getting created and put together. I don't know, anything that struck you as it was going through the process?
For me, I really felt good that we're going to get some change. And I was just sad that it took the deaths of a community member. And that's unfortunately how the system works, is where, you know, you can tell people this could happen, but it actually has to happen before it changes. So the biggest thing is for me is a tragedy remains a tragedy when nothing changes. So I'm glad that something changed.
Yeah, I mean, the fatality is just incredible. And the injuries, you know, we heard about how terrible the injuries were from that New Year's Eve. And our heart goes out to those families who are still suffering, all the neighbors that went through what they did, and all the first responders, because that was a mass casualty event.
Sure.
And I remember Dr. Ireland saying, you know, everybody was critically ill. They had to do triage and close down Salt Lake Boulevard and figure out who needed to be hauled off first to the hospital, you know. And now we've got that new ambulance bus, right? So if something were to happen, that they could theoretically, hopefully, get people to medical attention.
It certainly does take a toll on the community. And, you know, one of the things also in this new law that's important is that it actually assigns stiffer penalties for people that offend multiple times. And also it makes it a much more severe penalty for people. You know, if they use the fireworks and it causes substantial bodily injury, it's a much more severe penalty. It's a much higher felony. It's a B felony. And if it causes death or serious bodily injury, it bumps it up to A felony, which is the highest felony we have. So, you know, it's important that people realize that there's consequences, right? And that hopefully people will educate themselves on the law and will understand the consequences, and hopefully they'll modify their behavior, because that's what enforcement really is about. We're just it's not about punishment. It really isn't, you know, the police against the community. This is a concerted effort, right? We're all concerned about public safety. And so, we all have to work together and try to change that culture.
And we often hear, oh, well, you know, it's part of our culture. It's customary, but it's just gone too far, you know.
I think that a lot of people like to throw out the cultural thing because nobody wants to touch it. But, you know, I'm part Chinese, I'm part Hawaiian, and I don't know. I mean, it's not what I remember. You know, I mean, red fireworks for the Chinese side of my family. Hawaiians never had fireworks. So, you know, so I know that they're trying to say local culture, but then I think they're just trying to use that as an excuse for behavior that they don't want to feel bad for. Right? Oh, it's just culture, right? But like, okay, well, what if we have a culture of driving 150 miles an hour? Sure. We're just going to let it go and stamp it with the culture flag? No, it's dangerous. And fireworks have become dangerous.
It cannot be at the expense of public safety, right? And I think that's sort of the public mood has shifted, right? Especially since the incident from New Year's Eve. And I think people want change, really.
Okay. You know, we just got an email. Mark Onomoto says, why can't we send fireworks to the military? You know, they have firing ranges there on Oahu.
Actually a great idea. So we are trying to explore that. We know that there's a lot of cultural sensitivities in regards to where we blow things up. I am trying to see if with the renegotiations of Poakaloa, if that could be a possibility. And that would really do a lot of good for taxpayer dollars. Some of the things that I'm also trying to get the legislators to entertain, which they are, is that the cost of storage and disposal be passed on to the importer. Because I think it's really unfair. Like, you know, somebody's trying to bring it in illegally to make a lot of money. And then when they get caught, we have to, you know, discard their business venture, right? And I think that would be a game changer. Because let's just say right now you bring it in, even with the new law, $10,000 fine, which is pretty good. But if we pass you $1 million bill, you have to get in 5 containers to make that worth it, right? Or 3 or 4. Versus now, if you try to ship 2 containers and one gets in, you're winning. So you really have to try to leverage it so that it's just not worth it. It's no longer, the risk reward is just not there. But in regards to burning it off at Poakaloa or some other locations, we are trying to explore those options.
Yeah, and you know, I know that there are just concerns about things coming in the mail, right? There are other ways besides the containers, and that's one of the things you're looking at.
Yeah, so it can come in through the mail. In fact, one of the other media outlets had questions about that, and why don't we prioritize it? And really what it comes down to is, you know, and the pun intended, bang for the buck, right? Is that, you know, you could have a container with 30 to 40,000 pounds, or you can have a package with 25. The reality is, for law enforcement, it costs the same to bust that. So what we do a lot of times with the postal is we screen it and we dispose of it, and that's kind of the punishment in of itself, because it's really not the weight volume that is creating the safety issues, it's the container. So kind of the agreement that we have worked out with Honolulu Police Department is they're the heavy lift on the tickets and we're the heavy lift on identifying importers.
Okay, well, we've got 15 minutes to the top of the hour, your last chance to get questions in or comments. Call us at 808-941-3689. And, you know, one of our producers reached out to a local influencer. He uses the name Brevenchi M. Brian Mundaba is his name. He spoke with the Conversation's Maddie Bender. He said where he lives in Waipahu, he would usually hear fireworks going off in the days leading up to 4th of July. And this year, he said he heard almost nothing. He posted a satirical video on social media that's gotten hundreds of comments in agreement.
So, like, it definitely felt eerie. You know, it didn't feel like I was at home almost. And it's clear, like, the new laws had a big impact almost everywhere on the island, because through that post or through that video that I posted, there's a lot of people agreeing with how quiet it has been.
Yeah, and so talk a little bit about how you decided to poke fun at it. So you kind of made your own fireworks, right?
Right.
You took two slippers and you banged them together over your head.
Yeah. Because I think it's definitely sad, almost, because Hawaii, or fireworks, like, in Hawaii in general, have such, is such an important part of our culture, I almost feel like, and tradition. So, like, having it be quiet, you know, I wanted to just, you know, about me and my Instagram, like, I always just want to make people happier, make people laugh, so that's what I aim to do with that video.
Yeah, totally. But I bet as a dog owner, your dog was pretty happy that the fireworks weren't that loud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And my neighbor's dogs as well. And I think a lot of people also mentioned that, too, in the comments, saying that, you know, it's good for their dogs or their furry friends.
Do you think this will last? Like, do you think come New Year's Eve that this will still be the vibe? Or do you think people are just waiting and it'll go back to normal?
You know, that's an interesting point. I feel like it, in my opinion, I almost feel like it will be the same vibe. I think maybe a little bit more fireworks, because given the quietness, I still heard some the night of 4th of July, but you could tell it was, like, definitely short-lived. I think New Year's Eve, I think there will be a noticeable difference compared to the other years as well. Even though people in the comment section, they were saying, oh, just wait till New Year's Eve. I personally think it might be the same vibe come New Year's.
Is there anything else you want to add, or anything like questions that you have for law enforcement, anything like that?
Oh, interesting. No, I mean, I think, you know, taking a look at the whole fireworks laws here, and specifically because it's just on Oahu, like, I know the other islands, obviously, they're still, like, the big, loud aerials are illegal, but they still have, I don't know what you call those smaller fireworks, like the ones we used to have years ago. But I think there's definitely ways to take a look at firework usage, because I understand the intention behind the ban, but I feel like there could be more proactive approaches, such as maybe designated safe zones or, like, more organized community fireworks shows instead of a blanket ban. And I feel like we could prioritize safety while, like, still preserving tradition.
Well, you know, social media is a big deal right now. I mean, I don't know, are there any discussions about campaigns that we ought to be doing on social media?
Yeah, so we, because the law was, you know, such a short window for 4th of July, we really couldn't do, you know, much PSAs. I know that Paul did one's really good, but we want to kind of heighten that. And actually, I saw that post. It was actually funny. So, yeah, I thought it was funny. But we definitely know that New Year's is going to be a different game. And unfortunately, we're going to have to make examples of people. And we just hope it doesn't cost anybody their life this year.
For sure. You know, we really do intend on stepping up enforcement and maintaining that level of enforcement. And I think, you know, previously, like we said, the missing component was the consequence portion, I think. And now that there are stiffer penalties and more consequence, I think slowly over time we'll see an improvement in this area. And, you know, and people really want to see fireworks, it seems like, right? The appetite is there, right? And so I hope, you know, that people realize we should leave these explosive devices in the hands of the professionals, right? And maybe we can enjoy them that way, where we can go see professional shows. That's my hope anyway.
Well, we did talk to one of the professionals who said that with all this tariff talk, you know, the idea of bringing in fireworks with a tax, the tariff of 145% was kind of like staggering. And, you know, there's a big a celebration of the independence of our country next year, you know, so next 4th of July is going to be a big deal. And so we'll see. I know that industry has asked for an exemption from President Trump. We don't know if they'll get it. But that certainly is something that they're looking at, how it's impacting their bottom line. You know, we do have a caller on the line, Jay from Honolulu. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my telephone call. I really enjoy listening to this morning show, the conversation led by you, Ms. Cruz. I have two questions. One is a follow-on from the first. The first question is, and I've lived and worked here in Honolulu for 18 years. Why did it take so long for this kind of legislation with real teeth to pass? Obviously, the loss of 6 human lives and 24 injured people on January 1st of this year was terrible. And to be disfigured with a burn injury is horrible. Why did it take so long for the people of Honolulu or Hawaii and the legislature of our state to pass this kind of law? And secondly, why was there no provision in this bill for increasing the monitoring of the import of these fireworks into Honolulu? Obviously, they're coming in on ships. And I've heard the governor actually speak on this. I think you've interviewed Ms. Cruz on this. And the answer, if I recall, was that, well, it would be a lot of work. Of course it's going to be a lot of work. But you need to stop the influx or inflow of these fireworks. Thank you very much for your time and for letting me ask my two questions.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. I think you probably, hit the the nail on the head, right? Because I think a lot of people have just been so frustrated for many years.
Yeah, no, and I love the caller. I appreciate it because it is frustrating because we've actually been fighting for this law. I've been fighting for it for the last 3 or 4 years, and I know he said 18, but it's one of those things where, like we discussed earlier, it unfortunately takes a tragedy because the elected officials, and this is the real talk, the elected officials want to be reelected, and it has to be the sentiment of the community. So in other words, I do believe the silent majority is over it. It's just gotten way too far. And I think that that sentiment has gotten into the elected officials, and now their elected officials are emboldened to change the law. But prior to the tragedies, prior to these other things, it was like, don't you guys have anything better to do? So that's the first part of his question. And I totally agree that it shouldn't be that way. And in regards to the port, we are trying to look at technologies, for example, in other places like Dubai and whatnot. They have these huge x-ray scanners. Like, imagine if you went down to TSA and it just was big enough to fit a semi-truck into it. So we are going to be looking at, they're about $15 million per machine. But I think it's a well worth investment for us to have that at the port. And that would be a game changer. You'd probably need 2 or 3. But, you know, my point would be the technology exists and we could be screening containers faster if we made that investment. So thank you to the caller for those comments and questions.
And Paul?
Yeah, I certainly understand his frustration. Why did it take so long? I don't really have a good answer for that. Mike said, it really did take a tragedy for everyone to sort of wake up and for the silent majority to speak up and say, hey, this is not right. We have to do something about it. I really do want to thank the legislators that, you know, championed this bill and the governor for signing it into law. I think it was long overdue, right? And I think we're going to see some positive benefits from it in the next few years to come, I think. We're talking about changing culture, and I understand local culture, but really, like I said before, it cannot be at the expense of public safety.
I recently talked to former Governor Ben Cayetano, and I remember when he was governor, and he was coming back, I think, from Kailua, and he was coming, through Kalihi, and he could not believe the volume of the smoke and the noise. And the headline the next morning, and I think I mentioned this on the show, was utter madness. Mm-hmm. It was just too much. And people have tried, but when it brings home the deaths of families, of your neighbors, your friends, that's heavy. And I don't know if any of the people affected would be willing to help in any kind of a PSA or a campaign the next time around. I know it's pretty traumatic right now, but you just don't want to see this happen to anybody.
Yeah, and I really hope. And obviously, there's a lot of healing that they're going to have to do physically and mentally, but I think that it would be very powerful because obviously they embraced the aerial fireworks. They were in possession of, hundreds of pounds or whatever it ended up being. So to hear from them and how it changed their lives forever, I think the dad recently was on the news or somebody, grandpa was on the news, and you can just hear it in his voice and it's sad. But so, for me as a father, why put your family through that, right? It's not worth it, and it just got really, really out of control. We're not talking sparklers and bottle rockets. We're talking 6-inch shells, and those weren't meant to be in residential areas, just point blank.
Yeah. Any final thoughts before the top of the hour here?
Yeah, this really isn't, just a government responsibility. This is really, we all have to, as the community, we all have to sort of get together and sort of say, hey, this is not right. And we all have to collectively sort of understand that we need to change things. And so until that attitude changes, and I think it is slowly, things are not going to get better, right? But I really do think this new legislation is sort of a first step for us to increase public safety. And I really do want to thank the Department of Law Enforcement. I think this is a really good partnership, and we're going to see more of this cooperation to come. And I really do want to thank all of the law enforcement professionals out there, the ones that worked on this last holiday and really, they didn't go to the parties. They came to work and they really helped to keep the community safe. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no, great comment. So, now that we've kind of piloted with Honolulu, we'll be reaching out to Maui, Kauai, and Hawaii County to see how their New Year's went, or sorry, 4th of July went, so that they can be prepared for New Year's. And I think that what we got to do is take a look at our community is, how can we celebrate this in a safe way? And, it's kind of one of those things where, like, play live music, put on a band. Because I can tell you right now, when the neighbor's having a band and it's late, I'm okay with that. It's nice, actually, to hear people doing that. So it's just a matter of, let's change the way we think about New Year's celebrations. Let's do what we do best. Let's have a good time. Let's have family. Let's play live music and bring in the new year. Fireworks does not have to be a part of it.
Okay. And I know that you are, as part of your responsibility, you've got to ramp up with a special team that's going to be looking at this. And right. So where are you at on that?
So we have to create the new spec. For that, it's a new position. So once we get those job descriptions up, we actually have some, we call them part-timers. So in other words, they do drugs as well, but their primary focus is to combat fireworks. So we've actually acquired some ex-HPD investigators that actually specialize in organized crime and covert operations. So we're pretty confident that between now and New Year's, we're gonna get some distributors. So that's why when I made that comment, I have a list. I wasn't talking about tickets. I was talking about distributors. So, we have some people in our crosshairs. And again, if they want to continue doing what they're doing, then I'd love to make an example of them with a B felony.
Yes, lots of work yet to be done, but it's a good first step passing this legislation. So mahalo to the lawmakers who really came together on this one. And thank you to the listeners, for those two great ideas, right? Working with the military to help solve the solution and then coming up with an Amnesty Day buyback. So we will look for the details on that soon, right?
Yes, absolutely. hopefully within the next week, we'll have a date set. We just want to make sure we confirm it because, once you set the date, if the date changes, it throws everybody off. So, I really appreciate you having us on and, kind of talking these things through because we really want the community to understand where we're coming from. We just want compliance. That's all we want. We want a safe holiday. We don't want tragedy. We don't want these things to happen. And we really have to have discussions with our friends and family on how we're going to spend our holidays.
Right. We got to keep everybody safe. Well, we would like to thank our guests, Mike Lambert, DLE Director, and HPD Major Paul Okamoto. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. That does wrap it up for us. Tomorrow we plan to catch up with Kai Kahele, the chair of the Board of Hawaiian Affairs. And we do invite feedback. Call our talkback line, 808-792-8217. Email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. You can find the conversation on Spotify, Apple, or on our website. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.